to Matthew chapter 4. We'll begin with verse 12. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. We'll read down through verse 25. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast in prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. I want us to think a little bit about the words that Jesus began to preach. Matthew begins this account of our Lord's ministry here in Galilee. And in the verses of our text, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching in the synagogues, and he's preaching in the streets of Galilee after the imprisonment of John the Baptist. Folks, I want you to understand one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that we may not think about often, but our Lord and Savior was a preacher. He was the greatest preacher of all. And as such, he is held before us as the great pattern and example that all true gospel preachers must or should follow. And I want to note three things from this passage of Scripture as we consider that Jesus began to preach. First of all, I want to see our Savior's message. It says in verse 17, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Folks, I want to tell you, preaching repentance is something that's not done that often in pulpits across America today. Jesus did not preach like the religious leaders of his day. And sad to say, He didn't preach like many who call themselves preachers preach today. He began to preach his public ministry with the utmost simplicity. He didn't have pomp and pageantry. He didn't hold press conferences. He didn't have advanced men going in and preparing the people for the preaching. He didn't make huge public announcements. He just began to preach without calling attention to himself. He just began to preach the Word of God. And we read that when Jesus began preaching, it was when he had heard that John had been cast into prison. When John had done his work, John was laid aside. And we think about God's pattern in God's Word. I thought about the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. They began preaching. They preach for a period of time, and the Lord takes them home. And we need to understand that John had been preaching, but now John has been taken into prison, and we know that he was slain, and we understand that God had finished the work that he wanted John to do. And I always like what Brother Hobbs always told us young men here at King's Edition. He always told us, I don't know if some of you other men might remember that, but he said, until our Lord is finished with us, we will not die.
Right.
And he used that thought himself during the Korean War. He was involved in a conflict, and he had to lead a group of men through a known minefield. And they asked for volunteers to lead the men through the minefield, and no one volunteered. And Brother Hobbs thought to himself that he knew if his time was come that he would die, then he would die. But he also said, I knew, Brother Pete, that if it was not my time to die, I would be able to get through that minefield. And so he led the men through that minefield. And he didn't die, because the Lord was not finished with him yet. And I understand that a lot better this year than I did last year. You know, last year, I'm not trying to make over it, but I believe I came pretty close to leaving this world. But the Lord wasn't finished with me. And he arranged people and circumstances and times, and he brought me through. Now, I don't know what the Lord has in store for you. I don't know what he has in store for me. But I do know that the Lord has a purpose and a use for you, and you will not die until you have fulfilled that purpose and that use. And I'm going to tell you this, and when he is finished, and it's time for you to go home, there's no one going to be able to keep you here. And we need to understand that. John had finished his ministry, and his time had come. And our Lord began to preach at the appointed time. And I just like to think, you know, God never leaves himself without a witness. He raised up Moses. But when Moses' time was over, God then raised up Joshua. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's no lack with our God. I know sometimes we think that God's people are few in number, that we just can't get a whole lot accomplished, but I want you to know that with God, we can accomplish exactly what he wants us to accomplish. And we should be busy doing the work that he's called us to do. Now we're told in verses 13 through 16 that when our Lord began His ministry, it was in Capernaum, in Galilee of the Gentiles. He left Nazareth because the people there rejected Him. We're told in Luke chapter 4 and in verse 29, and rose up and thrust Him out of the city and led Him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast Him down headlong. But He, passing through the midst of them, went His way. Folks, it wasn't yet time. But He did go to Capernaum. And He came to Galilee. Because God had a people in Galilee. God had His elect in Galilee. And just like He said He must needs go through Samaria, the Lord went to Galilee for a reason and for a purpose. And I want you to understand that God's purpose will never be defeated by man's unbelief. Amen. We're told in the book of Romans in the third chapter, Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Folks, we need to understand that this world is opposed to God. This world does not love God. This world does not love God's Word. This world, to a large extent, doesn't even believe in God. That's not going to change one iota God's purpose, God's plan, and God's actions. You can believe, unbelieve all you want to. But your unbelief won't cause God to stop or alter His plans. We need to understand that. He came to Capernaum to preach because the Scriptures had to be fulfilled. Isaiah had predicted in Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, the quote that we see quoted here. He said that out of this land, a great light would shine. And so our Lord and Savior went to Capernaum to fulfill God's purpose, God's plan, and God's prophet had prophesied. And God's Word is always true. And we need to understand that. And I want to tell you something, folks. We're no different than those people there in Galilee. We're in gross darkness. And we sat in darkness because we loved it. We did not seek the light. But praise God, upon us a great light has shone. The light of Christ and the grace and the glory of God has shined down upon us. And when the gospel comes, light comes. We're told in Luke chapter 1 and verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ brings light to sin-darkened sinners. And just as He brought light there in Galilee, He's still bringing light today in the hearts and the lives of the people He saved. I tell you, we were all in darkness. Not only were we in darkness, we loved darkness. And nothing could pry us out of that darkness except the power of God. And He shined a light. He came to Capernaum. He came to a place in Galilee. the place of the Gentiles. You know what the Jews called Gentiles back in those days? Called them dogs. They were nothings. They were nobodies. But that was the place that God chose to save sinners. And we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Galilean speech was crude. The Galilean people were poor. They were illiterate. They were uncouth. They were not sophisticated people. As a matter of fact, the Galileans were the roughnecks from the other side of the tracks that no one wanted anything to do with. But our Lord began preaching in Galilee. And the message that he preached is the same message that we need to preach today. And you know what that message was. It says it right there in verse 17 of Matthew 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our Lord and Savior could have dazzled the brains of men with theology so deep and so profound that only he could understand it. Our Lord could have preached on the great mysteries of prophecy and explained them. He could have preached on the intricacies of the law and explained it that so that no one would be able to understand the way that he did. But what did he preach? He preached one message. Repentance is necessary. Folks, too many preachers are trying to dazzle their congregations with their own brilliance. And you know what preachers need to do? They need to follow the example of Jesus Christ. You know what he preached? You all need to repent of your sins. You all need to see yourselves as lost sinners. You all need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our prime message. We can teach the whole counsel of God, but we need to understand that the people need to hear that they're not right with God and they need to repent and they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How are they going to do that if the preachers won't preach? We're told in Luke 13, beginning with verse 1. Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What was his message? Don't think of yourselves as better than anyone else. These things here spoke about tragedies that had occurred. And the thinking of that day was, well, those men must have been terrible sinners for that tower to fall on them. Or those men must have been terrible sinners to have their blood mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus said, they're not any worse than you are. You need to repent. And that's the message that he preached. And he gave urgency to that message. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent now. Repent today. Repent this moment. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Folks, we need preachers that are willing to stand and to tell the people, you need to repent today. You don't have tomorrow. You don't have next week. You have right now. And I can tell you tonight, you need to repent. If you're a sinner and you're lost and don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, repent. And I can tell you this, if he was here, he would tell you to repent. The Lord of glory was a preacher. And let everyone who says that they're a preacher, they should follow his example. God help us to follow his example. And we need to preach the message. Repentance is necessary. And it's needful. And it's urgent. Verses, back in our text, in verses 18 through 22, we see our Lord beginning to preach, and then he gathers disciples unto him. And in these verses, we see the Lord calling two sets of brothers to himself. I think we see an example of the effectual call. When the Lord calls, effectually, you come.
Right.
And I think we also could see an example of a call to the gospel ministry. Right. Peter and Andrew and James and John were called to follow the Lord. And they were told, you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I believe they were called to the ministry. They were called to preach. Who were they? They were brothers. Two sets of brothers. I think that'd be one of the, a great blessing to be able to have your brother be in the service of the Lord with you. I don't know that. Some of you have been blessed to have a brother that's been saved and is with you. That'd be a great blessing. But they were Galileans. The uncouth, the rough. They were fishermen. They were unlearned. They were poor. The Lord called them. What were they doing?